I think so. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph, 101 in Sanhedrin. We are behind just by a little bit. No, we're really caught up for the most part. We are in daf Kuf Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the page, and we're talking about Ben Sira. Ben Sira, the Apocrypha, written sometime in the beginning of the Second Temple. Historically, know very little about it. But it was not canonized. It did not make it into the Sifrei Tanakh, 24 Sifrei Tanakh. Some of them just made it into the canonization. You remember Gemaras elsewhere that discuss Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel just made it into Tanakh. There was somewhat of a controversy over Sefer Yecheskel because there are things in Sefer Yecheskel that don't come out reading that clearly or that consistently with Chumash, and they spent some time with Sefer Yecheskel. Questions about Shir Hashirim, whether that also belongs in Tanakh, but it made it into Sifrei Tanakh. Ben Sira did not make it into Sifrei Tanakh. Ben Sira, if you want to categorize, again, I told you, I haven't gone through Ben Sira, but and Rav Yosef says you shouldn't go through Ben Sira, which, of course, the irony is that we're going to be spending most of today talking about Ben Sira. But the Ben Sira, if you want to put it in a category, put it like in the same category as Mishlei, Sefer Mishlei. In fact, you'll see over the course of today, we'll bounce back and forth between Ben Sira and Sefer Mishlei. Ben Sira is like a book of Proverbs. It's basically a book of like smart things that were said by this, I guess, Navi. I'm not 100% sure.
I heard something about Ben Sira yesterday. He actually, I think one of the prophets was Yirmiyahu.
Right.
Went into a bath and he made a dessert. Yeah. His daughter went out becoming pregnant.
Yeah.
And the child was Ben Sira. Actually, initially they called him Ben Zera and then they changed to Ben Sira, but this is the offspring.
All right. Right. I've heard of such a thing. I don't know. I don't know where the source would be for that, but I've heard a similar story. The Rav Yosef says that you can't go through Ben Sira, right? That's what we saw yesterday. The reason why Rav Yosef said it is because it's a takeoff from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you're involved in Sfar Machitzonim, you don't have a portion of the world to come. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Akiva's felt very strongly that Sfar Machitzonim is just simply something that we should not engage in at all. Strictly prohibited, says Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara brought down a Braisa, and the Braisa says Sifrei Tzedukim, okay? Works of the Sadducees. What exactly that is, I don't know, as I mentioned yesterday, but heretical works, right? Rav Yosef said it's under this general category of things that you shouldn't be learning and spending your time studying. Rav Yosef says it's also forbidden to go through Ben Sira. And now what we started with yesterday is an analysis of Ben Sira, and the Gemara wants to know, is there value in Ben Sira or is there not value in Ben Sira? So let's start off the discussion with, there is absolutely a value in Ben Sira, because we're going to go, yesterday we did this, and we're going to continue doing this today. There are psukim in Ben Sira that teaches us life lessons that are taught elsewhere by Mamre Chazal. Other statements of Chazal that coordinate and correspond exactly with the book of Ben Sira. So there certainly is a value in Ben Sira, but as we're going to learn today, there are certain things that are said in Sefer Ben Sira that are slightly nonsense. I'll show you the Rashi in just a moment, where the Rashi basically says it's nonsense, and shouldn't be occupying your time with Sefer Ben Sira when there's so many things of value that we could be learning. So Ben Sira should not be the way we're occupying our time. So it's interesting, when all said and done, we haven't gotten to the Gemara's conclusion yet, Ben Sira is not in the same category as Sefar Machitzonim. Sefar Machitzonim, those are prohibited. Like, in other words, the Gemara says you can't open them up and you can't go through them. Ben Sira is a slightly different issue. It's an issue of just wasting your time. It's not corrupting, but it's just simply a function of wasting your time. We were yesterday, we're more than halfway down the page. We quoted a bunch of psukim out of Ben Sira, and we got up to Dagabalev. We did Dagabalev. Okay, Ve'ela. More than halfway down the page, it's the first word in the line, Ve'ela. Before the lines start getting wide again, it's about 8-9 lines up from there. Ve'ela Mishum Dechsiv, so maybe it could be based on the following. The pasuk in Ben Sira writes, Mina Rabim Mitoch Beisecha V'lo HaKol, Tavi El Beisecha. Don't bring a lot of people into your house. right? There is a mitzvah of achnasas orchim, and certainly hospitality is an important mitzvah. Gemara says that's more important than being mekabel pnei shechina. Then Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, wait over here because I have a hospitality opportunity. I'm going to take care of my mitzvah of achnasas orchim. So it's clearly an important mitzvah, but Ben Sira says, don't overdo it. And the Gemara says, and that's correct. And that's absolutely correct. Don't overdo it. Rabbi Nami Amra. Rabbi also said the same thing as well. Rabbi, by the way, who was unbelievably wealthy and had the resources. It wasn't an issue of resources. Had the resources to bring everyone into his house. But Rabbi, just don't bring a lot of people into your house. That's not the way to conduct yourself. Shenamar. Now back to Mishle. You see what we're going to do? We're going to do a lot of this. We're going to jump back and forth between Ben Sira and Mishle. They're basically the same genre of work. Ish Re'im Lehisro'e'a. A man with Re'im, with many friends, Re'uwa, it's going to be unstable. Too many people in the house is no good. Elamishum Dichsiv. So the Gemara says, finally, okay, you're right. So for that pasuk, that pasuk is correct. The pasuk in Mishle coordinates and corroborates that pasuk in Ben Sira. Gemara says, "Okay, you're right." Based on another pasuk, says, "This is going to be a tough pasuk." Zlaktan kortaman avdekan sachsan denafach bekasia lotzachi. Sure. Okay. If your beard is zlaktan, Rashi says it's thin and wispy, or kortaman. So I'm sorry. So you should know that such an individual is brilliant. If the beard is thick, he's a fool. Okay. Without Rashi, by the way, I'd be lost. Sachsan denafach bekisei lo tzachi. Anyone who blows on his on the foam, and when you pour your beer, it develops a big foam. If you blow on it, it really means that you're not thirsty, because what are you doing blowing on the what are you worried about the foam, the head of the beer? Just drink it. Amar b'may echol lachma, and he asked the question, you know, what goes well with this piece of bread? Such an individual is not that hungry. If he's asking, what am I going to eat with this piece of bread? Lachma sav mine, take the bread away from him. Right? If he, you know, it's like your kids playing with the food. Right? Just give me that. Mande isle ma'avarta bedikne kule amalo yachlele. And finally, the pasuk in Ben Sira ends by saying, if the guy has a part in his beard, don't ask me. If the guy has a part in his beard, nobody can overcome this individual. It's some indication that this individual is just strong and powerful. Okay. And there you have it. And Rashi writes, look at the top Rashi on the left-hand column. Right? Demitoch shechashav kol yamav ra'amos umishom yadol lezekeno moshech ha'adam shemechashav ad shenikracha. This person is very conniving and very cunning. So v'cholhani, look at the end of the Rashi, we're going to skip end of that Rashi. V'cholhani divrei ruach ulekach en korin bo. Rashi writes, this is all divrei ruach. It's, I guess the best word is nonsense, right? It's not bad, it's not good, it's just nonsense, divrei ruach. And as a result of that, Rashi says, that's why you should not engage in the study of Ben Sira. Okay. Finally, so we have the opinion of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, don't learn Ben Sira. There are psukim with value, but there's also psukim without any value. Divrei Ruach is what Rashi says, and therefore do not learn it. And then, I'm Rav Yosef, and yes, it's confusing, because Rav Yosef immediately turns around and says, Mila mal yasad yispe darshin alahu. The good stuff in Ben Sira, that we could darshan. And we will darshan. So, yeah, I'm confused. In other words, Rav Yosef says, as a general rule, you shouldn't learn Ben Sira, but, you know, let's sift through our way through Ben Sira, and let's take out the good psukim in Ben Sira, and let's darshan the good psukim. The pasuk says, Yishatova matana tova bechek yirei elokim tinasein. A good woman is a good gift, and it will be given to someone who fears God. Ishara, a bad woman, this is straight out of Ben Sira. Isharat saras labalam. Bad woman is like leprosy to her husband. Mai taikante. And what do you do if you got one of those? So, okay. Yigarshena. So he divorced her. Mi beso v'yisrapi mitzaraso. And that way you'll be healed from your tzaras. Okay. I know it sounds funny, but without Ben Sira, you may have thought, okay, just, you know, it's part of your suffering, part of your sermon in this world. And just stay with her. And Ben Sira is teaching us, and Rav Yosef says, and this is one of the things that we learn from Ben Sira, is that no, right, divorce is an avenue. It's right, never pleasant, but it's an avenue. And if necessary, should be employed. Isha Yafe Ashrei Ba'alal. Ashrei Ba'alal, beautiful woman. So her husband's going to be very happy. Mispar Yamav Kiflayim. His days will be doubled. Rashi writes very clearly, it does not mean that this is not a blessing of longevity. It does not mean that his life will be doubled, his lifespan will be doubled, but Rashi writes, May Rav Hana'a Chashuvim Kikiflayim. Right, by being with such a woman, so your quality of life will be further enhanced, and it's like your days will be doubled. Back to the Pasuk in Ben Sira, Ha'alam Einecha Me'eshes Chain. Stay away from a alluring woman. Pentila kebe mitzudasa. You might be ensnared by her trap. Al tedet sal ba'ala lemismochim o yayin. We're talking about not a single woman, we're talking about a married woman who is alluring. Stay away from her. Stay away from her husband as well. Don't sit down with her husband and have a cup of wine with her husband. Ki besora isha yafya, because with such a beautiful woman, rabim hushchatu. V'atsumim kol harugeha. She ensnares a lot of people and strong people as well. When it comes to this sort of thing, strength doesn't matter. Right? She'll ensnare all of them. Harugim rabim. She killed many people. Hayu pitzei rochel hamargil maldaber erva, and someone who frequently speaks in a lucidious manner. Kenitzotz mav irgacheles. It's like sparks flying out. Right, you're basically looking to start a fire, and that's never good. Ke kaluv malei of kein bateim maleim mirma. Just like the coop is filled with birds, this house of the ensnaring woman is filled with mirma, deception, and trickery. Fine. Continuing on in these psukim in Ben Sira. So again, these are the psukim that Rav Yosef feels good psukim, have much to teach us about life. Continuing in more life lessons from Ben Sira. Don't bring everybody into your house, right? Hospitality, but reasonable and sensible. Do not bring a lot of people into your house. Inquire about everybody. Say hello to everybody. But as far as your secrets are concerned, 1 in 1,000 people. Do not divulge your secrets to many people. Talk to many people. Have many contacts. But as far as your secrets are concerned, 1 in 1,000. Mishocheves chekecha shamor pizche picha. Even from the one who you lie with, even from your wife, don't tell her everything, says the Pasuk in Ben Sira. Al teitzer tzaros machar. Don't worry about tomorrow's concerns. Right, don't be vexed, don't be so bothered by what's going to be with tomorrow. Now, again, follow, because it's a little tricky. We jump from Ben Sira to Mishle, back to Ben Sira, right? So I know it only because, right, on the side of the Gemara it tells me now, these next psukim you're going to find a Mishle. Again, Ben Sira is a Mishle genre. So, ki lo seidam mayulad yom, shem lamacha einenu, v'nimtso mitzar al olam. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it turns out now that you spend so much time worrying about tomorrow, and meanwhile, you have no idea. And it may turn out that it's not going to end up like you think it is, and all that worry was for nothing. All right. And I'm sorry. And Ben Sira says it a little bit stronger. Ben Sira says, and you may not be here tomorrow. And so what's the point of worrying about tomorrow if you're not even going to be here tomorrow? Kol yimei ani ra'im. Okay, more. Now, again, this is a, it's tricky. Kol yimei ani ra'im is Mishlei. All the days of a poor person are bad, and then Ben Sira adds to the Pasuk in Mishlei. Ben Sira Omer Aflelos. Ben Sira will add to that, that not only the day is bad, but I'd like to make a, you know, I'd like to be mechadish. Shlomo said all the days of a poor person are bad, I'll add the nights as well. And he explains why. Bishval gagim gago, uvimarom harim karmo, umimatar gagim legago, umiafar karmo lekaramim. Because he's poor, so he's got always the worst real estate position imaginable. When it comes to the night, his roof is below other people's roofs. So when it rains at night, all the rain goes on other people's roofs, washes off, and hits his roof. So he always will have the worst agricultural real estate position imaginable. Uvemarom harim karmo, his vineyard's all the way at the top of the mountain. Now, what's wrong with being at the top of the mountain? When it rains, the rain comes down and slides down the mountain, so he'll get the least amount of the precipitation. Okay, so the unfortunate state of an ani is not just a daytime problem, it's a nighttime problem as well. Okay. Amar, skipping the simanim, okay. Amar Rebbe Zera, Amar Rav, my dechsiv koi me'ani ra'im, Eilu ba'alei tama v'tov lo mishteh tamid, Eilu ba'alei mishnah. Okay, so now, as long as we're discussing some of these ideas and life lessons of Ben Sira, so Gemara says it'll give us a great opportunity to talk about Sefer Mishlei as well, and to darshan Sefer Mishlei. These next couple lines of Gemara should sound familiar. We did them at the end of Baba Basra. Kol yimei ani ra'im. All the days of a poor person are bad. We're darshaning now. The simple pshat is talking about someone who's financially poor. But now we're darshaning. Elu balei Talmud. These are referring to balei Talmud. Right? Those who learn Talmud. It's like a poor person. Rashi explains the analogy. Rashi says, Shekasha lomod, meirav kushyos, visugyo sheyeshbo. Learning Gemara is difficult. It's hard. And you have so many questions. And you don't walk away with a satisfying feeling like, oh yeah, good. Right, that's Talmud. The Tovlo Mishteh, now but the Pasuk of Mishlei says, and happy is the one who has Mishteh Tamid, who always has some sort of feast to go to, Elo Bala Mishnah. That refers to the Bala Mishnah. Rashi writes, Mishnah is easier to learn, and Mishnayos are not that difficult, they're not that challenging, and you don't have that many questions on a Mishnah. So, okay, that's one way of darshaning the Pasuk. Rava Amar Ipcha, and Rava flips it. And Rava says exactly the opposite. The happy ones are the ones learning Gemara, and the unfortunate ones are the poor people, the ones learning Mishnayos. Rashi explains, the Baalei Talmud nenem yigio shiyado lahoreis isra veheta. When you learn Gemara, you know how to conclude. Somebody asks you a question, and you say, oh yeah, the Gemara raises that issue, and here's what the Gemara says, and you walk away with conclusions. Ava Baalei Mishnah shonav eino yodea mahu omer. De'ein morin halacha mitocha Mishnah. Mishnah are just headlines, but the Mishnah doesn't tell you what the bottom line is, and so therefore you're learning Mishnayos, and you don't know exactly what the Gemara's conclusion is. You don't know what the Gemara is. You don't know what the conclusion is. And Rava feels it's just the opposite. Behind the Amar of Misharshi Mishmei the Rava my dechsev the pasuk says Mesia avanim yatzev bahem. Mesia avanim yatzev bahem. Here it's Koheles. We're quoting from Koheles, but it's the same basic idea. The one who brings the stones, so he's very sad. Ela Baalei Mishnah, that refers to the Baalei Mishnah. Uvokei etzim yisaken b'hem, but chopping wood is great. Yisaken b'hem, you warm yourself up, because now that you have chopped wood, so you put in your fireplace, and now you're warm in the middle of the winter. And again, the Gemara darshans, Ela Baalei Talmud. That refers to people who are learning Talmud. So again, the based on the Rashi, the idea is that when you're learning Gemara, you know what the conclusion is, you warm yourself up to the conclusions of the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina Omer kol yimei ani ra'im, zeh mi sheyesh lo isha ra'ah. Okay? More drashos. Rabbi Chanina says that the kol yimei ani ra'im is referring to somebody who has a isha ra'ah, an evil wife. The tov lo mishteh tamid zeh sheyesh lo isha tova, as opposed to someone who has an isha tova. Rabbi Yana Omer kol yimei ani ra'im, zeh istinus. Somebody who is finicky, fastidious. V'tov lo mishteh tamid zeh shedato yafeh. If you're a little more relaxed and easygoing, and you're not as fastidious, and everything doesn't have to be exactly so, says the Gemara, you're going to have a happier life. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im Zeh Rachamaneh V'tov. Zeh Rachamaneh. If you're a Baal Rachamim. Now, being compassionate is important. In fact, the Gemara says it's one of the things that identifies the Jews. We're genetically compassionate people. But being overly compassionate, the Gemara says, is no good. Right? That is Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im. When you are so, it's an issue of being overly sensitive, right? And overly compassionate. V'tov lev mishteh tamid zeh achzari. Being a little bit achzari, I know the Gemara doesn't say that, but you know, it's a little editorial on my part. But being a little bit achzari is a good thing, right? If you don't become overly sensitive to everything that you hear, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, right? You have to be a little bit achzari. You have to be a little bit cruel. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im Zeh Shedato Ktsara. Rashi says it's similar. Dato Ktsara, top Rashi on the page. Kuf Aleph Amar Aleph. Mesim Lelibo Kol Dagos Chavero V'doeg Al Koma Asha Silavo Alav. Somebody who worries a lot. Worries about his problems, worry about other people's problems. Your whole life is like you're on it. You're like, oh, you're going to be like a poor person, a miserable poor person, if all you do is just worry. The tov lev mishteh tamid zeh shedato rachva. Dato rachva, you don't worry, right? Rashi says, they don't make them lelibo da'aga kol kach. There are things to worry about, but you don't spend the time worrying. You're just going to be a happier individual. I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im Va'ika Shabbosos V'yamim Tovim. Just the simple Pshat Mishlei, Gemara says, I don't understand. Every single day of the Ani is going to be, Ra'im is going to be bad. What about Shabbos and Yantav? 20, he assumes, even when you're poor, you still got Shabbos, you still got Yantav, you're going to eat on Shabbos, you're going to eat on Yantav. So why should it be, right, Rashi says, Ein lecha Ani should be Yisrael, Sheilom Ha'adanim. Even when you're the poorest person of people, still Shabbos, you have what to eat. So how do we understand the Pasuk of Mishlei? And Pasuk of Mishlei says every single day is going to be bad. The Gemara says, yeah, it's still. Kedishmol, damashmol, shinu yivest, tchilas chole me'ayim. Shmuel says this a number of times throughout Shas. Anytime you have a change of schedule. Shabbos, you have a change of schedule. It brings about bad GI problems. Okay? And Shmuel's a doctor, by the way. Shmuel, you know, is saying this from a halachic and medical perspective, right? It's always about to change your schedule. Okay. And Shabbos and Yantav, we do change our schedule, right? We don't eat the same on Shabbos and Yantav that we do during the week, and it produces GI problems. So even the Ani, who doesn't eat during the rest of the week and then eats on Shabbos, although he's enjoying the food on Shabbos, but still it's a change in the schedule, and that brings about discomfort as well. Okay, good. Continuing in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'akori pasuk shal shir ha'shirim v'os ha'asokim min zemer v'akori pasuk beveis mishtaos beloz mano mevi ra'a la'olam. If you treat shir ha'shirim like a zemer, shir ha'shirim, Rashi writes, she'kore benegina acher she'enu nakud ba v'os ha'asokim kamo shir. Singing songs of shir ha'shirim, treating it like a song. Right, shir ha'shirim, the Gemara says elsewhere, is kodesh kadashim. Right, it's not just holy. It's like the inner sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash. Shir Shirim is not to be understood on a simple level. So if you convert it into a regular song, making it sound like a love song, so the Gemara says that is mevi ra la'olam. That's no good. You bring bad onto the world. Similarly, if you are kore pasuk beveis mishtaos, meaning totally out of context, you're not in the Beis Medrash. Right, it's just not an appropriate time to do so. Beis Mishteh in the Gemara usually means a wedding. The sense I get from Rashi is that we're not talking about a wedding over here. Right, Rashi writes, "B'meisav al yeno oses shecheko sav b'divrei Torah the kori psukim b'koram l'sachek b'hem." Right, it almost sounds like you're at a bar. From Rashi, that's certainly the feeling you get, right? B'nei Amishta, aval imamru bizmano al Amishta kagon shu yomto v'noto kos biyado v'omer alav divrei hagadu psukim minyano shol yom evi tova la'olam. Right? What would be a contrast? When would it be appropriate to talk about psukim? When, let's say, you're on yontif and you want to talk about psukim that deal with the yontif that you're in. So that's appropriate, and that's bizmano. Even though you're holding the same cup of wine up, but still, that's bizmano, that's appropriate. Mimnei, back to the Gemara, Mimnei Sha'atar Chogar Esak, V'amad Eslefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'amad Eslefanav, Ribbono Shalom, the Gemara creates an imagery over here of the Pasuk standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying to him, Asuni Banecha Kikinor, Shemeganim Bo Leitzim. Look at them, they're like mocking and ridiculing, and it's like they are like clowning around with my psukim. And the Amalah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the psukim, Biti b'sha sho'ochlim v'shosim, b'ma yis'asku, well, what do you expect them to do when they're eating and drinking? Amalah fanav, Ribbono sho'olam, im b'alei mikra, hein yis'asku b'torah, v'nevim v'ksuvim. What do you mean, what are they supposed to do? If they're fluent in Tanakh, so they should be learning. In Balei Mishnah, im yasku b'mishnah, b'alachus v'agados. And if they know Mishnah, so they should be learning the Mishnayos. V'im Balei Talmud, im yasku b'hilchus Pesach b'Pesach, b'hilchus atzeres b'atzeres, b'hilchus chag b'chag. And if they know halacha, gemara / halacha, so then they should be involved in halacha. Hey, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, Kol HaKori Pasuk Bizmano, Mevi Tova La'olam Shenemar, V'daber Be'ito Matov. If you say the psukim at appropriate times, you are Mevi Tova La'olam, you bring good to the world. Okay, good. All right, that ends that section. We have concluded so far this morning the section on Sfarim Chitzonim. The first Mishnah in Perek HaChelek tells us that should not engage in the study of Sfarim Chitzonim. Rabbi Kiva says such an individual does not get a portion of the world to come. Fine. Ben Sira, Rabbi Yosef says, is more or less in the same category of something that should not be studied. But yes, then it's a little bit confusing because then Rabbi Yosef himself goes through some of the more valuable psukim in Ben Sira and sifts through and weeds out takes out from Ben Sira those psukim that do have a value and do teach us good life lessons, much like psukim and Mishlei do. Okay, and that ends that section. Okay, other people who do not get a portion of the world to come, right? If you go back to the Mishnah back on Daf Tzadi, right, which is now almost 2 weeks ago, and the Mishnah back on Daf Tzadi talked about those people who do not share a portion of the world to come. So we are now, we finished with discussing and describing what the Apikoros is, who these Sfarim Chitzonim are, and now we're up to the next one in the Mishnah, Halochesh al Hamaka. You do an incantation over a wound. Pasuk says, V'amar kol ha-machla asher samdim mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. Right, and you whisper and you do this some type of incantation, you do not receive a portion in the world to come. Okay. Certainly sounds strong. Amar Rav Yochanan, so here the Gemara is going to qualify. When is it precisely that you do this type of incantation and it's just absolutely, totally inappropriate, totally forbidden, no portion in the world to come? So Rav Yochanan writes, Uberokek Ba. It's talking about when you spit and you quote a pasuk like we just quoted of Ani Hashem Rofecha, and it seems like you're spitting over the pasuk, right? That is such an act of insolence and disrespect that such a person does not get a portion in the world to come. The incantation in of itself may or may not be appropriate, but the spitting on the pasuk, that is absolutely disrespectful. Such a person is out of the fold. Okay, and when we say psukim, you can't say any pasuk. Meaning, if there's a wound and you spit and then you say the pasuk, any pasuk is going to be forbidden, even if it's a pasuk that is, you know, that's a pasuk about Saras. The Rav Chanina Amar Filo Vayikra Moshe, and Rav Chanina says even if the pasuk is Vayikra Moshe, which seems to be an innocuous pasuk, it doesn't matter. Any pasuk connected with spitting is disrespectful. Tan Rabbanan Sachem Amashma Hashem Bnei Ma'ayim B'Shabbes. We're on the topic of how to deal with wounds, so the Gemara turns to a couple of Mishnahs throughout Shas that deal with doing medicine. In general, we all know you can't do medicine on Shabbos. Medicine on Shabbos is prohibited. It's a gzeira derabbanan, it's a rabbinic decree. Not only in the good old days, but even nowadays as well. How do you make medicine? You grind up the spices. Whatever roots, flowers, plants, weeds, whatever you feel has medicinal value, so you take it and you grind it up. Grinding on Shabbos is a malacha d'araisa. That's one of the 39 malachos. So the Chachamim said that on Shabbos, if someone's ill, not deathly ill, obviously, but if somebody's ill, so you cannot take medicine on Shabbos, because it is exerid the rabbanan, it's a rabbinic decree. Okay? Despite that, we're going to be learning now, there are certain things that are allowed to be done on Shabbos. Tanu rabbanan stachim emash v'shem b'vnei mayim b'shabbos. You want a massage? You can get a massage. Now, here we're talking about a stomach massage. Okay, I'm not in the world of massages, but apparently stomach massage was good for intestinal movement, and you can get one on Shabbos. V'lochshen lechishas nechashim v'akravim b'shabbos, and you can do certain incantations on Shabbos. Nechashim v'akravim, the snake and scorpion incantation. Does everyone here in this room not know the snake and scorpion incantation? I don't know the snake and scorpion incantation, but. But Rashi writes, Rashi is on the bottom of the right hand column. But Rashi writes, Lokshim al Nechashim al Kravim v'Shabbos, Bishvil Shalo Yaziku. In other words, apparently there was some sort of prescribed incantation that you say, and you say it to the snake, and you say it to the scorpion, and it does not harm you. V'Ein Bekach Mishum Tzeda. And Rashi over here writes, and there's another Shabbos consideration, and that is you may view this as trapping on Shabbos. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's not trapping on Shabbos, and therefore you can engage in such behavior and such activity. Or ma'avir in kli al gav ha'ayin b'Shabbos. If let's say you have an eye swell, some sort of eye infection, so you could take a kli and put it on. Maybe the kli is cold. I'm guessing. I don't know. And maybe it reduces the swelling. Okay, perhaps. That also you're allowed to do. So in other words, medicine is prohibited, but certain therapeutic practices are fine. The massage, telling the scorpions and snakes to stay away, and using some sort of incantation, and putting some sort of compress on your eye, those are fine. Just make sure that whatever utensil you use, you put in your eye, is not muktzah. Meaning a spoon, a knife, that you're allowed to put on. But but something which is a kli, which is muktzah, like what's it called? The knife of a moel, right? So why do you want to put that on your eye? I don't know, but I'm saying, but that is something which is muktzah, and that's something that you cannot use. Ein sholem b'dvar sheidim b'Shabbos. Also, having a conversation with demons, you can't do that on Shabbos. Okay. Now, from the Tanakhama, what's evident? What's self-evident from the Tanakhama? The rest of the week is fine. Like Sunday, you want to sit down with your local demon and engage in a little conversation with him. That's fine. So, according to the Tanakhama, it's good. According to the Tanakhama, so what's the problem with Shabbos? Right, like, why can't you engage in a conversation with them on Shabbos? So Rashi writes, it's now on the left-hand side of the page, Shekein osim kisha ovdim shum davar sholem b'masa shedim. First of all, why would you want to have a conversation with shedim? So Rashi says, because you lost something. And you looked around the house, and look again. And you can't find, and you're going crazy. So who are you going to ask? So... So you ask your shade, right? The demon that's living with you, and v'heim agidim lahem, and you can't do this on Shabbos. Rashi writes, v'asal asos b'Shabbos mishum memso chafzecha, because this is a violation of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, right? Sfarim know these pasukim better because they say it in Kiddush. Memso chafzecha v'daber davar. On Shabbos, your dibor, the way you go about looking for things on Shabbos should be different than during the week. During the week, I would, of course, go to my local demon and ask him, where can I find something? On Shabbos, it should just be different. It's just, to use the term, it's not Shabbos-dick, to go and ask the demon. Okay.
Look for something. itself without asking the Dina is not...
Right, that for some reason... Exactly. Right, that for some reason is not a violation of Mimso Chavsecha.
Why don't you ask God to help
you? Right. I'm suggesting, I'm not sure, but I guess because it's so unusual to look for something without any assistance. Maybe. Okay? Fine. And so the opinion of the Tanakhama is that in general, a conversation with a shade is fine, but not on Shabbos. Okay. And then Rav Yossi, back to the Gemara, Rav Yossi, Amar Af B'Chol Asur. What do you mean in general? You cannot have a conversation because it's a kana. It's dangerous. Because, right, just, they're demons. I mean, look, I haven't met a demon. Now, I've seen movies with demons in them, but that's not real, so. That doesn't mean anything. They're dangerous. They're dangerous creatures. And you shouldn't converse with them in general because it's just a danger. Amar Rav Huna. Now, here, there's a funny question of what the correct gear of the Gemara is. Either halachic Rav Yossi or ain halachic Rav Yossi. The Gaon takes out the word ain. Ain halachic Rav Yossi. V'af Rav Yossi lo amar l'mishum sakana. In of itself, the Gemara is very clear about this. Very clear. In of itself, there's no problem with speaking to a demon. Meaning that you're not, it's not witchcraft, it's not sorcery, it's not Ov, it's not Yidoni, it's not any of that. It's just, even Rav Yossi says it's prohibited, it's only prohibited because it's dangerous. Ki Adar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the Gemara tells us stories. The Evla Ba'arza. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef was swallowed up by a tree. It wasn't a tree. It was a demon that was in the shape of a tree. V'savele Nisa Paket Arza Palte. And a miracle took place on behalf of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. The tree blew up. He got out of the tree. But it's just dangerous in general to talk with demons. Tanu Rabbanan, we continue in the Gemara. Sachan Mamashma B'nei Ba'ayim. V'shabas V'vashal Oyazek Edech Sho'osa B'chol. The Tosefta here tells us that getting massages on Shabbos is okay, but uvda dechol, don't get a massage on Shabbos like you do during the week. So the Gemara talks about how it should be done differently. Hey Chavid, so Rav Chama Brebi Chanin Amar Sach Ve'Acher Kach Memashmish. First apply oil and then massage, which I think is how you do it nowadays as well. I don't know why that's different, but Rav Yochanan Amar Sach Memashmish V'Vasachas. Rub and pour the oil at the same time. Whatever the case is, you got to do it on Shabbos different than during the week. Shabbos should just be different. Tanu Rabbanan.
Because
it's not. Because you're not actually using a medicine. Right. It's just a manipulation with your hands.
You use peppermint oil.
Right. So right. The Gemara Shabbos says like the Gemara talks about chiropractic. That you could do on Shabbos as well. Come on, Shabbos says.
Why are we here?
You were only here. No, that's the right question. We're only here because the Mishnah talked about making an incantation over a wound. So it is. We're off. We're off on a tangent. No question about it. But you know, while we're talking about incantation, so fine. Tanur Rabbanan. Now, if it's viscous, if it's really thick, then yeah. But the Gemara is assuming that it's a liquid oil, so liquid oils is fine. Tana Rabbanan, Sari Shemen Vesari Beit Sim, Mutarim L'Shol Bahem. Okay, I'm going to try to explain this to the best of my ability. Okay, every physical object in this world has a metaphysical component to it. Right, even though we look at physical objects and we think to ourselves those are inanimate objects, right? But everything has a sar, everything has a spiritual component to it, and so the eggs and the oil, they have a spiritual component to it as well. This is a sar, the sar of the shemen, the sar of the beitzim. So we're talking about eggs over here. So mutar l'shol bahem. So again, so basically they're like demons. Okay, the spiritual components to these objects, to these everyday objects. So you can talk to them. Okay, elamim meshe mechazvin, but just beware of the fact that, generally speaking, they lie. So you can have a conversation with them, but it's a helfnisht. Right, as they say in Spanish, because they just lie. Lochshin al shemen shebe kliva, and lochshin al shemen shebe yad. You can make an incantation of oil that's in the kliv, but not in the hand. Lefichach sachem yishemen shebe yad, vein sachem yishemen shebe kliv. Just you can't anoint somebody with oil straight out of the kliv because the demons are attached to it. Okay. Right. Let's just go on. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta ikla lahu ushpiza. And Gemara tells a story. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel goes to an ushpiza. He goes to an inn. Aisile mishka b'mana, and he gets oil straight out of the utensil. Shaf nafkan light simte ba'ape. Boils start breaking out on his face. Nafak l'shuk. He goes out to the marketplace. Chazisa yisusay, and he sees a woman. Amra. And she says, Zika de Chamas, Kachazina. I see the spirit of Chamas, Chamas, Chemas. Who knows how to pronounce it? But I see the demon spirit on your face. The oil that was poured onto him had demons attached to it. The demons attached to him. So he meets a woman. Now the woman over here happens to be a witch. Okay? Avdale Milsa, she, you know, says a couple of her abracadabras, and it's they, and he was healed. Okay. Good.
That's really weird.
Okay. The you should know, in general, I mentioned this before, right? The Rambam, right, we all know this, I'm chazering. The Rambam says that none of this, he doesn't believe in any of this. The Rambam doesn't believe in demons, and he doesn't believe in...
And, how does he explain all this?
Right, so the... The Vilna Gaon goes into a very, very strong attack against the Rambam and says that the Rambam is off on this. The Gaon says, right, often quoted Gaon, the Vilna Gaon writes that the Rambam was misled by philosophers. The philosophy that the Rambam learned, the Aristotle and all the philosophy that the Rambam learned, you know, and the rational approach, the Rambam took it to an extreme. This is the Vilna Gaon saying this. And that's why, you know, you get to Gemaras like this, and the Rambam, what's the Rambam going to do with these Gemaras? So the Vilna Gaon says, I don't know. Right? And the Vilna Gaon's conclusion is, Rambam was not correct. You should know, most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rambam. The Ramban, Nachmanides, points out very clearly that it's not true. Kshafim, sorcery, witchcraft, demons, all the supernatural, they're all part of the world, they all exist. They're all part of the natural order of things. And so what does Rambam do with Gemaras like this? It's difficult to say. Maybe he will put it in the category of Agadata.
Don't we say that if something's medicinal from the Gemara,
we don't use it nowadays, but that's a function of Nishtana Teva, that nature's changed.
No, but Rambam himself said that Agadata you should never discount. He said that you should take it very seriously because you may not understand it, but you should take it very seriously.
No, not to dismiss it, all but right. Just put it under the category of Agadata. And not this is not to be taken literally. That's what the Rambam would say about something like this. Okay, we quote the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted, and it's a simple question. It's a pretty obvious question. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised us, you're not going to get any of the illnesses that you saw in Egypt. I know you saw a lot in Egypt. You won't get any of those illnesses. Ailments, because I am God and I'm your Rofe and I'm your healer. Well, if we're not going to get the ailments, then why do we need a healer? V'chim e'achir shalo sam refuah. So, I'm sorry. V'chim e'achir shalo sam refuah lama. So, what do we need refuah for? Right? Anytime you go to a doctor, it's because you're sick. So, what? I'm alei ha'chem rav yochem. Because then mi'atma nidra sh'nemar. V'yom yishamo tishma lo kol ha'shav lo kecha. Im tishma lo asim, v'im lo tishma asim. But the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Yeah, it's conditional. If you listen and you do the mitzvos, so then I won't put on the machala. But if you don't listen, so then you're going to need a rofe. But still, you're going to get to the point where you're going to have the illnesses. But still, remember, I'm the rofe, and I will heal. I'm a rabbi bar brachana kishachal rabbi Lazar. Once again, now we go back to the illness of Rabbi Eliezer. Not that long ago, we were discussing this point in history. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, was one of the mentors and guides of Rabbi Akiva. Mm-hmm. Okay? And despite, and it's very interesting, just historically, Rabbi Eliezer was not the accepted approach, right? According to one Pshat and Rashi, he was a student of Beit Shammai, a follower of Beit Shammai, but nevertheless, though, he was a mentor of Rabbi Akiva.
It was in Cherem, we learned about it.
Right. And right, that's what we discussed recently, that they lifted the Cherem of Rabbi Eliezer after his death. Right? Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer, Nechtas Utamid of Levakro. Amar Lahem Chama Aza Yesh Ba'olam. And Rabbi Eliezer says, I see a strong Chama, I see a strong son in this world. Hein Bochen Verabi Akiva Misachek. Now, obviously, we're talking about now the period around the destruction of the temple, and everyone's crying, and Rabbi Akiva, we'll see this at the end of Makos. Rabbi Akiva was always the, he was counterintuitive. When everyone cried, he would laugh. So he says to them, let's go over first why you're crying, and then I'll explain to you why I'm laughing. Amalo Efshar Sefer Torah Shari Bitzar Velo Nivker. Rabbi Eliezer is suffering so terribly, so of course we're going to cry. It's very sad. Amar Lahan Lakachani Mesachek. That's exactly why I'm laughing. I'm laughing or happy, right? Kol Zman Shani Roa Rabbi She'ein Yeino Machmit. Ve'ein pishtano loke, ve'ein shmeino mavish, ve'ein duvshano madvish, amarti shem echad v'shalom, kibel Rebbe olamo. Rebbe Eliezer has been living the good life. He has never experienced a souring of his wine, and his flax never deteriorated, and his oil was always good, and he seemed to have enjoyed the world to the point where I started thinking, this man is not getting a share in the world to come because he's enjoying this world too much. The Akshav Shani Roa Rebbe Bitsar Ani Sameach. But now that I see that he is suffering, so now I realize, okay, he's going to get a portion in the world to come. Amalo Akiva Klum Chisartim in a Torah Kula. Amalo Li Maritain Rabbeinu. Ki Adam Ein Sadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Tov Velo Yechetam. And they say to Rabbi Akiva, are you insinuating that Rabbi Eliezer sinned? And Rabbi Akiva answers very simply, yeah. I'm not insinuating it. I'm saying it. And not only am I saying it, it's a pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says, yeah, Adam Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz. Nobody is perfect. Tanu Rabbanan Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer Nechnasu Arba Zikin Lavakro. Four students come in to visit Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Who are we missing, by the way? Right, we're missing somebody from the Seder.
Yoshua.
Huh? Rabbi Tarfon's here.
Rabbi Yoshua.
Rabbi Yoshua is here. No, he wasn't there in the Seder. Okay, because there are five by the Seder. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, Nana Rabbi Tarfon Va'amar Tova Tal Yisrael Mitipa Shog Shamin. So they're all singing Rabbi Eliezer's praises. You're better than Tipa Shog Shamin. Shetipa Shog Shamin Ba'olam Hazeh. Rabbi Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'olam Haba. Rain only helps in this world, but you help in this world and the world to come. Nana Rabbi Yoshua Va'amar Tova Tal Yisrael Yosef Megalgal Chama. You're better than the sun. Shogalgal Chama Ba'olam Hazeh. Rabbi Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'olam Haba. Okay, son's only good for this world, you're good for this and the next. Nana Rebbe Lazman Azari Varmatov Atali Saw Yoser, me av the aim, better than a mother and a father. Sha the aim ba'olam azev Rebbe ba'olam azev ba'olam haba. Nana Rebbe Akiva, the Amar, Chaviv and Yisurin. So again, just Rebbe Akiva's there to just like throw water on the parade. Right? He rains on the parade. And he says, I'm so Chaviv and Yisurin. Oh, you're suffering. Oh, that's great. Amar Lahem, but the great part of the story is that Rebbe Lazar is like, you know, I want to hear Rebbe Akiva. I don't want to hear the praises. I'm not interested in that. Samchuni v'ashma divrei Akiva tamidai. Shamer Chaviv and Yisurin. Bring Rabbi Akiva closer. That I like to hear. Amalo Akiva zuminayin lecha. So he says to him, "Where did that come from? Where did you get that from?" Amar Mikra ani Darish. I just learned that from Pesukim. Ben Shemus Rishana Menashe v'Malko. Menashe takes over the throne when he's 12 years of age. Yes, that's very young. His father, of course, is Chizkiyahu. We have spent a lot of time discussing the historical period of Chizkiyahu, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, and Menashe. Chizkiyahu is sandwiched between two Rishayim. His father was the Rasha, and his son ends up being a Rasha. And his son takes over at the age of 12. And he reigned for a total of 55 years. And he did bad in the eyes of God. Uksiv, okay, so far so good. We've established that Menashe is bad. We're on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Gam Eila Mishlei Shomar Sheir Etiku Anshei Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda V'chi Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda L'cholam Kulo Limei Torah Ula Menashe Menolo Limei Torah. Now, who did Menashe? Can't you imagine that Chizkiyah taught his son Menashe Torah? Ela Mikol Torah Shetarach Bo Mikol Amash Amabo Lo Ha'alu L'mutav Ela Yisurin. Look, Chizkiyahu tried to be the best influence on his son's life, and it didn't work. He sat down with him, he schmoozed with him, he told him, "Here, do this, be good, don't be bad," and it didn't work. What finally got Menashe to change over the course of his life? Yisurin, the suffering that he suffered. Shenema v'yidaber Hashem al Menashe v'alamo v'lo ikshivo v'yavo Hashem aleim es sarei atzava shel hamelech Ashur. So out comes the Assyrians again. Right? You think they got wiped out by Chizkiyahu. Right? There are more of them. Out comes the Assyrians again. But you could do as Menashe Bechuchim, Yasu Ben Nechashtayim, Vayalkiu Bavleha. I'm sorry, Vayolichu Bavela. And they wrap him up in thorns and they chain him and they march him back to Bavel. Uksiv, Uvayetzer lo chelas p'nei Hashem, lo kal v'yichana ma'od. And now he's humble. He prays to God and he says, "God, I'm so sorry." And God listens to him and he brings him back to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Akiva says, "Good." And what do you learn out from the story? That Yisurim is excellent. Because it helps, it really does. Because Menashe, up until that point in time, was arrogant, didn't even listen to his own father, but a little bit of Yisurim, not a little bit, but a little bit of Yisurim, and then all of a sudden, right, it corrects him beautifully. Let me just get to the two dots, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Tana Rabbanan, Shloshem Ba'u Be'alila. Three people came Be'alila very deceptively at God. Elohein Kayan Esav Menashe. Kayan Dechtiv Gadol Avoni Menso. Right? And the Gemara says, what's his argument to God? Kayan has an argument to God. Amar lefan Ribono Shel Olam Klum Gadol Avoni Mishishim Ribu Shatim Lachto Lefanecha V'ates Solech Lehem. Look, I know the Jewish people later on in history are all going to worship idols, and somehow, God, you're going to forgive them. And you're not going to forgive me? Okay. And that obviously is a powerful argument. Okay, that's number one. Esav dechsiv, habrachas achas hilecha avi, right? And Esav says to his father, not one bracha for me? And somehow, his father finds one bracha. Menashe, b'tchila kra lalohos harbe, l'osof, kra lalokei avosav. And Menashe calls out to all the gods and then finally says, no, I meant you, God, right, in singular. Right? So again, so all these people deceptively did have an approach to God, right, not conventional, all with deception. Okay. Pause over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots.